Well, good morning. Everybody got their eggs? I don't know what you may be expecting, but you don't usually get a chance to take part in the kids, do you? The kids ceremony. Can everybody hear okay? Is that all right? You don't get a chance to do that, do you? So how about you being the kids this morning for the kids features? That sound all right? We have a term in our area, at least we used to have one growing, and I guess maybe since this is graduation Sunday, it's called taking stock. You know, taking stock of where we are, where we've been, where we're going, what's going on. And I think it's always a good time, this time of year, to kind of take stock. What's going on? And so the little kids feature is kind of a little song. These are little musical instruments, okay? Can you rattle them a little bit? There's a little song. You may know this. It's got, "Tell me whose side are you leaning on?" Okay? And you get to lean during this little motion. You know, it'll help wake us up, a little exercise, morning aerobics. How's that? Morning spiritual aerobics, all right? So everybody got their egg ready to rattle? And the basic song goes like this, okay? "Tell me whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side. Tell me whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side." And this is where you get to really bump somebody if you want to. "I lean, I lean, I lean, I lean. Leaning on the Lord's side. I lean, I lean, I lean, I lean. Leaning on the Lord's side." You got it? All right. So help me if you want to. If you want to take part, if you just want to rattle, that's okay. Because it's always important whose side are we leaning on, all right? So those other points, too, we won't do. There's jumping, you know, there's shouting, but we'll just do the one for this morning, all right? Are you ready, kids? Ready to do that? Okay, all right, okay. A one and a two, as Lawrence Welk used to say. Of course, the kids don't know who that is, do they? The one and a two and a three. "Tell me whose side are you leaning on the Lord's side. Tell me whose side are you leaning on the Lord's side. I lean, I lean, I lean, I lean. Leaning on the Lord's side. I lean, I lean, I lean, I lean. Leaning on the Lord's side." All right. Whose side are you leaning on? Okay. So you can use these in case you fall asleep during the message. Just kind of rattle somebody next to them. All right. And that sermon, somebody said, that song is for somebody named Eileen. That's a bad yoke. All right. If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8 as we take stock today. As we take stock of, it's always good to see what kind of a road we're on. As far as, because it's easy sometimes to come into church, and we're all together right now. But when we go out of here, we're going to all go in different roads. But God wants us to take stock. He wants to shine a light through God's word on our hearts and minds. And it's always good. I always like to follow the signs. Now, I came down through Browning today. You know, up the road that way, beautiful drive to get to Astoria. So I didn't really need any signs. You know, I put my, don't have GPS, didn't even need it. But if somebody didn't know where they were going, they'd want to follow the signs. You know, you can go through Rushville. I'm sure there's other ways to do it. But I think God has given us his GPS, or as somebody said, God's positioning system. This is our map. This is our positioning system. So we can keep trekking. It's good to look so that we can know, are we on the right road? I remember years ago, going to Colorado. We love to go out to Colorado to Estes Park. I don't know if anybody's been out there or not. Beautiful, beautiful place, isn't it? Oh, and I remember we were kind of hungry, and we were driving along, and we saw this sign, "Eat here, get gas." Well, I don't think we wanted to eat there and get gas. You know, and so I knew we were not going to stop. That was a sign. We were not going to stop there. We went on down a little bit later, and we found another place. Now, I remember last year, that meal that you had for last year. I got that privilege last year coming and speak at your camp meeting. Wow. Is that the same kind of meal you're going to have tomorrow night? Whoa, boy, Don's going to love that. That is incredible, that meal. Wow. And I remember I committed the sin of gluttony. But I learned one thing, you better get your pie ahead of time. Better get your pie ahead of time, because people got their favorite pie first, then they dove in. But that was wonderful, as I remember. So we're going to look now at some signs. But first of all, I'd like to see the first sign that God gives us is kind of a symbol of the cross. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do as you go through Romans, there's a treasure hunt. There's about 8 signs in the book of Romans 8. And it gives us kind of signs so that we know we're on the right road. And one thing about God, we can always, as long as there's breath, we can turn around and get back on the right road. That's something for us to think about. Because all of us have a chance to veer off. All of us have a tendency to veer off in different directions if we're not careful. You know, something can happen to us. You know, something, I read about a guy the other day who said he gave a gift to somebody and he was upset because they didn't use it. The person had given them a cemetery plot. Now, wait a minute. That's not a very good gift, is it? But he was upset with somebody because they didn't use it. So what the first gift God gives us from this is found in the very first verse of Romans chapter 8. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The first sign that we can have is the sign of peace. Are you ready for this? Peace. Please say it with me. Peace. We have peace with God and can peace with each other. Now let me first of all look at a little bit why we can have some peace. Now something that I really think that I've appreciated about God, I don't know about you, that can give me peace, is that God has a sense of humor. Would anybody agree with that or not? Huh? Aren't you thankful God has a sense of humor? I was reading the other day that the good book says, people are made in the image of God. Now that sounds rather spiritual or theological to some folks. But to me, it kind of tweaks a little sense of humor. It gives me a sense of peace. It's funny because it means that the great God of the universe is a being who in some ways resembles human beings. That is a truly hysterical thought that the eternal God would copy us after himself. How about you? Huh? It's good news. It means that God can laugh. It is no small comfort to remember that God has a sense of humor, and that should give us some peace. Now, I don't want to trivialize laughter. I don't want to trail because I know some people are going through some awful times. I mean, I'm sure maybe you are right now. And there's an appropriate time to laugh. But the Bible says there's a time to laugh. The Bible says laughter is good medicine, doesn't it? Huh? Proverbs says, and it's important for us to remember that because we have the peace of God, we are so blessed. And one of the things that I appreciate that maybe we don't talk about a lot of times because of that peace is that God has a sense of humor. And actually, there's plenty of evidence in creation of that. God has a sense of humor. Only someone with a sense of humor would have made a skunk. Huh? How about a parrot or a giraffe? Huh? Such funny things would never exist. What about, are you having the buffalo gnats that are bothering you now? Huh? How about those? What is the purpose of a buffalo gnat? Have you ever wondered about that? Huh? What is the purpose of that? I don't know. Do you? Huh? I don't know. And I think God probably cracks up at us when we're trying to bait those buffalo gnats all over the place. And I don't know about you. Have you ever come up your nose? Huh? I mean, this is crazy. And then, how many of us, I know some long-winded preachers at church camp who have swallowed a gnat or two while they're preaching. How about you? But the thing of it is, God, and Jesus even said something about that. He poked fun at people who are so fun, who strain out a gnat while swallowing a camel. Folks must have laughed out loud to have heard that when Jesus painted such a vivid picture. Now, the Bible really starts off in somewhat a humorous vein. If you don't laugh, you at least smile when you see Adam and Eve explains to God that eating the apple was not his fault. It was whose fault? Guys, who do we blame? Eve, it's that woman's fault. You know, here we are. And then what did Eve do? Eve said, it's the serpent's fault. I mean, come on. This is, and every Adam and Eve since then has done that until we can have peace. We can be thankful for the peace of God. Then, how about the story of Noah? Forget how many days it rained. Just think about how Noah must have felt to discover that he was the only guy on earth who had received a message from heaven to build an ark. The sun is shining. There are no dark clouds. The sky, and Noah hears God tell him to build this big ship on dry land. Can't you just hear him? Sure, Lord, build a gigantic boat right here on dry land in my backyard. Okay, okay, I'll do it. Then when he begins to build the ark, can't you imagine what his wife says to him? Yes, honey, a big boat. I'm going to build a big boat, one that will hold a lot of animals. And Mrs. Noah stands there with her hands on her hips. A what? You're building a boat on dry land? Why, I told you not to eat those berries in that strange bush. God help us. All through the Bible, we have laughter. We have. This should give us peace that God understands us, because we are kind of funny sometimes, aren't we? We kind of are. And then, how about Abraham and Sarah? How about anybody, any 90-year-olds here today? You know, first appears in the Bible when Abraham received that shocking message from God that Sarah would have a baby at age 90. Abraham did what any old man would have done. He laughed out loud. But he did more than laugh. He took Sarah downtown and bought her some maternity clothes. And he waited expectantly until the promised son was born. Abraham and Sarah thought it was so funny that they named their own son Laughter. And that's what Isaac means. Ever since then, whenever there's a baby born, there's a lot of laughter, isn't there? There really is. So what about Jesus? Now Jesus, he was no somber savior who went around pronouncing judgment on people. One of the first places he took his disciples was to a party at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Do you realize how many gallons of water he turned into wine so the party could go on? Ever since Jesus first turned water into wine, folks have been laughing about it. Remember the fellow who got stopped to the police with several gallons of moonshine in the car? He explained to the officer that there was only water in the jugs. When the officer tasted some of it and affirmed it was indeed whiskey, the man exclaimed to the officer, "Well, what do you know? Looks like the Lord's done it again." God has given us a sense of humor. And because of what he did on the cross, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. And there's a hope. I mean, never again. One of these days we're going to be lifted out of here and never again. That's the refrain I want you to use today. I'm going to mention some stuff that, and you, if you would please say, never again, all right? So you ready to practice with this? If you want to shake those eggs, that'd be fine. Because of the peace that God has given us, peace with God, peace for God, peace with each other if we can have it. And because of God's sense of humor, because of what he did for us, we can have the peace of God. And never again someday are you going to have a funeral. But here we go. You ready? When I say the certain things, if you'd say never again, or if you practice, we'll practice like this. First of all, never again will you hear your appointment was yesterday. Never again. This lane is closed. Never again. Your application is denied. Your account is overdrawn. Your payment is overdue. There's been an accident. Never again. The principal wants to see you. We've done all we can do. I'm sorry. Never again. Too late. Too bad. Never again. Goodbye. Oops. Never again. That's the peace that we can have. So no matter what the world throws at us, we have the peace of God. It's a fact. It's not a feeling. So the first sign is peace. Are you ready for that? Peace. Now the next sign is purity. God wants us. What do we do with this God? You know, he's given us peace. He's given us peace on the cross. He's given us peace. And when we look at God, I don't know if anybody likes emojis. I love to text with emojis. Anybody like to do that? Huh? Now, I grew up in a church where you were very serious, all right? In fact, we used to sing in the choir back here, and our preacher, we used to pass notes. And I think he had eyes in the back of his head. He would turn around, and he would sometimes make us kids, while he was preaching, if we acted up, he would call us up, and we'd have to set up here while he preached. He made us, I had the original Beatles records. He made us burn the records because they were evil. Oh my gosh, love me do. You know, I mean, I have the original. I could have retired probably years ago for that. But that was a serious thing. It was serious. But and he used to preach on tithing every Sunday. I don't know about you. In fact, he used to have tithing posters in the bathroom. If you go in the bathroom, there was tithing posters when you go in the bathroom. That's how serious he was. Now, I don't know how his boys both preach at churches that are over 1,000 right now. Thank God. That just shows you that God can use anybody, even if it's a tough time. But let me tell you, one thing he challenged us to do, I remember, was to live pure lives. Now, I don't know about you, it's not easy in this day to try to live a pure life. We can all come to church and look like, but I'm sure all of us have things that swoop into our life, do we? That just all of a sudden, you know, you're going along fine. Have you ever done this? You're going along fine. And all of a sudden, that temptation will just swoop right in. I don't know if I told you one time, I got attacked by an owl. Anybody ever tell you that? I got attacked by an owl. I don't know if I told you that or not. We were walking in Duncan Park, and all of a sudden, this screech, woo! And Marcia said, I think that owl tried to attack you. I was bleeding right there. And Marcia said, oh, I bet he thought you were a chubby little rabbit. Well, I went to the doctor, and they all laughed at me in a way. They said, but they gave me a tetanus shot. And lo and behold, the next week, we lived next door to our doctor. And lo and behold, the next week, the Dr. Bowen got attacked by the same owl at Duncan Park. But have you ever noticed how temptation can just swoop right in? Huh? I mean, you're sitting there maybe even reading the Bible and something comes on TV. Somebody says something to you and you just, you know, and something happens. But temptation, it's in this day and age to be pure. And those of you that are active in church all the time, it's easy to get burnt out. The temptation is to just do and do and do, and then you get burnt out a little bit. Sometimes we get a little too cocky too. I know some preachers. I don't know why. One of my favorite stories is about a preacher who was riding his bicycle along the road, and he found a young boy with a lawnmower for sale. And as he was finding this boy with a lawnmower for sale, he said, you know, he said, I need a lawnmower. He said, and I've got a couple of bikes. Would you like to trade this bike for the lawnmower? And, you know, the boy said, yeah. So all of a sudden, the boy said, here, I'll take your bike. You tell him, so the fellow said, well, let me make sure it starts. And he started pulling on the cord. And he said, this mower won't start. He said, pastor, you gotta cuss to make it start. Why, I'm a pastor. I've never cussed for years. I won't start cussing. He said, well, pastor, you just keep pulling on that cord and it'll come right back to you. Well, God help us to realize that's what happens. We are to be pure people. That doesn't mean perfect. That doesn't mean we're to be perfect people. But one of the gauges of the road that we're on from the peace of God is to say, I'm going to lean on God's side. I'm going to, with God's help. And sometimes you may have to confess to somebody that you really trust. You may have to confess somebody. You may have to say, God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need to let it out. And one of the best people you can do it is with your wife. You know, I had a couple of issues in my life that, man, you just keep inside and the devil will just twist. It's the best thing to do. And to tell your wife, to tell somebody really close to you, God, I need your help. Now, the next sign, all right, purity. How are we doing with that? Huh? Everybody gets attacked in different ways. But the best thing about it, we can get back on. We can get back on the road. We can get back on the right road. So on the signs, how are you doing with peace? How are we doing with purity? Now, one of the ways to do that is with prayer, all right? Now, how many of us love our grandchildren? Oh, my. Love our grandchildren. I do too. Love our grandchildren. But I tell you, we've got this one little grandson. Have you ever heard that kid's song, The Tiny Destroyer? You know, he comes up to you, man, he'll punch you. He'll punch you. He will. But he's been good for my prayer life. I don't know about you, he's been great for my prayer life because every time he goes to bed, I leave the room and I say, thank you, God, he's in bed. God help us, huh? God help us to realize. Because, see, even some people that jab at us can help us out. Prayer is like breathing to us. It should be like breathing to us. And God help us to how is our prayer life? Prayer is something we can do every day, every time, no matter where we're at, no matter what's happening. God help us. God help us to realize that, that that's what we need. And how many of us forget that? How many of us forget to pray? How many of us think, have you ever done this? I'll pray for you. And then I hear about something happened to me. Oh, I forgot to pray about that. But prayer, how many of us still believe that, that God can part the Red Sea? How many of us still believe that God can do a miracle? How many of us can believe prayer is part of that? God help us to realize that prayer is our lifeline. And that's one of the reasons, that's part of our confession too. So what we have, we're going through these quickly, and I challenge you to discover them in Romans 8. We have the peace of God. And of course, you have to make peace with God. We have purity. God wants pure people, not perfect people, but a desire to go. God wants us, not just that, He wants us to have a prayer line, to still be excited. What's that old song? I'm so excited. I just can't help it. That's the kind of life that He wants us to have. And then part of that that might happen is we may have to have pain to get us to those points. What was it C.S. Lewis said? God shouts to us in our pain. Anybody going through some painful experiences right now? Is there anybody doing that? A few weeks ago, I did some hospice volunteering. I'm telling you, that was one of the most emotional experiences of my life, talking with families and people that, if you've ever had hospice, those people that work in hospice are angels. If anybody here have anybody with that? I mean, wow, they're just incredible. And they were going through some pain. And, of course, one of the things about hospice is to alleviate the pain. But as I was talking with those families, you know, they still wanted to laugh, still wanted prayer, if possible. They still were concerned about their lives. But there was a message in that pain, pain. God help us to remember, what's it going to cause us to come to peace with God? What's it going to cause for us to have the peace and the purity? What's it going to cause? What's going to happen to us to get on our knees? Is it going to be a painful situation? Is it what C.S. Lewis says? God shouts to us in our pain. That gets our attention. God help us today. We're going through a painful situation. Maybe that's a sign that God wants us to be on our knees. Maybe that's what He wants. And what's the best way when we're in pain? I read a story the other day about a mom talking to her son about her grandmother had died, and the little girl said, you know, I just don't know what to do. And he said, well, God's with you. God's with you. He said, I still don't know what to do. He said, God's with you. She said, the little girl looked up at her mommy and said, well, I know God's with me, but I want somebody with skin on. I need a hug. That's what you are to each other. That's what you are. We're God with skin on, aren't we? That's what we are. That's what God wants us to be in pain. I think that's one of the greatest, greatest things of the church. When you reach out to each other, you're the hands and the arms of Jesus. So God gives us signs in our life. A lot of times we don't think that pain may be part of the sign, but pain may be part of the sign that we're on the right road. What are some of the other roads from Romans chapter 8? Well, what about perspective and perseverance? Huh? Perspective and perseverance. How about that? Very important. My dad was an auctioneer, and I used to wonder why he hung out in this real cheap restaurant. We used to have only one restaurant in Ashland, Illinois. Have you guys have a coffee place here in town where all the guys hang out? Anybody have that? Does anybody have a coffee group where you just go and you're just, woo! It's a wild group, that coffee group. But I remember that we'd have this coffee group, and this waitress would come around. She'd have a fly swatter, and there'd be a fly. She'd swat the fly right there in front of your food, right there. I remember for one time we used to have these. Sometimes you'd even find a hair on your biscuit, and you know you couldn't get it off. And I think God, you know, that's just, it was crazy. It was just, but that's where everybody hung out. And I found out, that's where Dad found out where the people were going. All the farmers would come in, and they would have their sales, and he'd find out about that. And I think that when God calls us to a ministry, when God calls us to have peace, when God calls us to have perspective, and when He calls us to have perseverance, He wants us to hang in there like a hair on a biscuit in a cheap restaurant. I've kind of decided that. That's kind of why he wants us to hang in there. And what we do that is because we can have each other. Perspective. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to have the power to do. He wants us to do that. Perspective. Perseverance. It's good to kind of get back. Matt told me this week that they took away. They got away for a marriage retreat. Wow. That's wonderful. The church allowed you to do that. And let Matt have a Sunday off too. And after today's sermon, you're going to appreciate Matt a lot more. So, but the thing of it is, it's good to get back and have a perspective. It's good to do that. It's good to get away and have the power and the perspective. And it's good to get into God's Word and have a power and perspective and see God's message from there. To remember that God does have a sense of humor. That life isn't so, even though there's so much serious stuff in this world, so much serious stuff, still, God help us. God help us. So maybe today we need to seek God's perspective. God's perspective. And you have God's perseverance. Sometimes it's only God's supernatural power that will get us through. Would you agree? Huh? And then there's two more signs to finish up. He gives us power and he gives us purpose. Power and purpose. He gives us the power. Supernatural power. Resurrection power. That's what he gives us. That's the power that is available to us. And he gives us a purpose. And I read, I can find this little illustration here that I had. Yes, I love this. And what is it all for? Is it just for us? It's not just for us. It's so that we can reach this world. And my question to you today, is the world changing you, or are you changing the world? And I love this story. You've heard it, I know, before. It's the story of the boy and the starfish. I'm sure you've heard that, haven't you? A man was walking on the beach where hundreds of starfish had come ashore. And as he walked, he noticed a boy of about 12 or 13 picking up starfish and throwing them into the ocean. "Son, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm saving these starfish." "There are hundreds of starfish on this beach. You can't save them all. So what difference will it make?" The boy picked up a starfish, threw him back into the ocean, and then said to the man, "It'll make a difference to this one. It'll make a difference to this one." I've kind of got a goal the rest of my life, if I can do it, if whatever time gives me left, that every day I'm going to try to make a difference to one person. I'm going to try to make a difference. My wife, somebody I don't know, somebody I don't see. Because you see, all these signs are not just for us. God wants us to have the peace of God, right? But he wants us to also try to get someone else to have the peace of God. God wants us to have purity. But he also wants us to encourage others to have purity. God wants us to have a prayer life, but he also wants us to encourage each other to have a prayer life. God doesn't want us to have pain, but he allows us to have pain so that maybe he can move us in that direction. And he wants us to be involved in other people's pain. That's the one best way to get out of our own pain. God wants us to have perspective. God wants us to have perspective and purpose and perseverance. Why? So we can encourage someone else to have perspective and perseverance. How many times are we just lost and then someone else comes along and helps us with that? God wants us to have purpose. He wants us to make a difference in one person's life, like many of you have. And he's given us the resurrection power to do that. So as we take stock today, I just want to ask you, are you changing the world or is the world changing you? Where would you like to be spiritually this time next year? Where would your church like to be this time next year? What are you going to do to be as an individual Christian and a church member? What have you learned from the mistakes of your past? What am I doing now to avoid them in the future? Where do I hope to be this time next year? And how am I going to get there? How do you know? You know by the signs. And you never know what God's going to do, do you? I'd like to close with this illustration. It's a silly illustration, but we were talking about babies the other day, and maybe you've heard this story. Pastor Bruce Pilcher used to tell this big, but I think God wants to do more than we could ever ask or imagine or dream of. And I remember there was a couple who was having a hard time, because sometimes it's not easy to get on this road. They were having a hard time having a baby. If you remember this or not, they have a hard time. And so, my gosh, they prayed and prayed and prayed, didn't have a baby. So they finally called the preacher in, called Matt out, said, "Okay, could you pray for us? And could you And he said, yeah, I'll bring my anointing oil out and we'll pray for you to have a baby. Well, went out, prayed for him, but he forgot his oil. So the guy said, I forgot my anointing oil. He said, do you have any oil around? And he said, well, yeah, I've got some 3-in-1 oil. So he said, well, that'll do. So he took the 3-in-1 oil, took the couple, blessed them. Not that you guys are going to. Blessed them. And lo and behold, 9 months later, they had triplets. Can you believe that? They had triplets. Wow. So they were in the nursery and they were looking over and the pastor said, isn't that wonderful? We prayed and you had the babies. He said, yeah, pastor, I'm sure glad you didn't use WD-40. Well, now that's a preacher story. But this week, when we exit out those doors, let's say, God, the world's not going to change me this week. I'm going to go out of here today. And I pray that we're filled up. I'm going to go out of here with my GPS. I'm going to go out of here. If I haven't got the peace of God, we're going to sing an invitation and you could come forward and receive that peace of God today. I'm going to go out of here, God, not just with the peace of God, realizing that God has a sense of humor. No matter what happens to me, I can laugh, not inappropriately, but I can laugh because I know that never again am I going to have to face what I'm facing on earth. I can go out of here and the purity that I'm struggling with right now, the temptation I'm struggling with, I can confess that to somebody. I can do something with it. I can do something about it. And believe me, we must do something about it if it's really enslaving us. I can go out of here and I can pray. I can go out of here. I pray pain doesn't happen to any of us, but it may. Then the church surrounds, the church helps, even those who aren't in the church. I can go out of here, God, give me your perspective, your perseverance, your purpose, and I'll give you the power to do it. So take your eggs, and I want to ask you, tell me whose side are you leaning on, all right? Are you ready? All right, tell me whose side are you leaning on as we leave here, okay? Okay. Tell me whose side are you leaning on the Lord's side. Tell me whose side are you leaning on the Lord's side. I lean, leaning on the Lord's side. I lean, leaning on the Lord's side. Let's lean on the Lord's side. God bless you. God bless Matt and all of you in your ministry together. They'll do more than ever ask or imagine or dream of. Let's lean on him and lean on each other. God bless you.